my great pleasure now to welcome our regular guest on the programme, Paul Atterbury from the Antiques Roadshow and much more. Paul, lovely to be with you again.
Well, thank you as ever, Peter. It's always good to be here.
We have a lot of fun, don't we, with our conversational pieces.
Absolutely.
And we're doing something a bit different today. Would you like to describe to listeners what we've got on the desk in front of us?
Yes, we're going into sort of, I suppose, our childhood. Mm. And what I'm looking at are three toys from really quite an early period, I suppose 1950s, something like that. And you've brought in two buses, and I've brought in a car, clockwork car. And let's talk about your buses. Where do they come from?
The buses, they have come from... I've got still a reasonable size collection of dinky toys. Mm. By no means not all of them that I had as a child. And I was a member, when I got a little bit older, of the Dinky Toys Club.
Oh, serious stuff.
Serious stuff. Yes. And somewhere I've got my Dinky Toys badge, you know. But these, say, from my... present collection, and I've got a variety of the Dinky Toys range and a few other buses and coaches, but they represent this early sort of, I suppose, really the very early 50s era. Hmm. of the Dinky Toy range, because Dinky Toys went back a long way, didn't they?
Yes, I mean they were originally made as adjuncts to the railway models. Mm. to build, yes, out a complete sort of landscape, and then they took off and became very popular in their own right, and obviously became in a way more significant than the railways because they were more universal. Mm. I mean, I obviously, growing up in London, those were the sort of buses I knew. I think we think about the Route Master as being, you know, the great London mm. bus, but its predecessor, the RT, no one ever knows what that stands for. Mm. Was very familiar and was the standard London bus from 1939 onwards.
It's the sort of the icon of London.
Very tall, very narrow, mm. and quite a tight staircase going upstairs.
Indeed.
And you realise how much better the Route Master design was, which came in the late 50s.
When we visited the Millennium Dome in 2000, there was a splendid example of an RT, absolutely shining, yes, and it was the one that was on show at the Festival of Britain,
right,
in 1951, and it was there in all its glory.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know...
But back to the Dinky Toys.
There are fanatical connectors of Dinky Toys. I mean, some people just have them as part of their childhood, as you or I might do. Mm. But, you know, there's a big world out there that is fanatical about this. And, of course, condition is absolutely
crucial.
They want people... Collectors want something that actually has never left its box.
Yes.
And bizarrely, there were children who did that. I always look at these when I see a perfect example untouched for 60 years, all I really worry about is the childhood that child had, not, yes, allowed to play with their toys. I think, well, yeah, that's really hard.
I mean, it tells the story, doesn't it, of the childhood, doesn't it?
Yes,
not
it does.
Allowed to play with it.
Whereas, you know, the yours are quite good, but they're a bit bashed around as they're bound to be. Mine were just the same. You know, they were left outside, they were thrown down the stairs, you know, all the usual things that happen to toys.
Yes.
And although dinkies and similar things like corgis were very durable, the paint was easily chipped.
Mm.
And that sort of immediate immaculateness disappeared very quickly.
The two bus examples that I've brought along, the first one has a cream top and a yellow lower
green
part. Green
lower.
That
might be London Transport Country livery.
It could be, yes. Green Line, couldn't,
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah.
And we were looking before we started at the sort of radiator, which to our thinking has a sort of the make of Guy buses too.
Yes, I mean, the detail was very good, and obviously a specialist could say straight away, oh, this is a Guy model so-and-so.
Mm.
But I think for most people, it was just... I remember I had a similar one as a child because it was a London bus.
Yes.
You know, it was as simple as that.
Dinkies did a cream one as well with a red lower.
Mm.
And they often... What was interesting with Dinkies, they did these colour variations.
Yes, some of which are very rare.
Indeed,
and
yeah.
And the value is often that... You know, if it's a particular model with an unusual colourway, it fetches more money. And... the irony, of course, is the unusual colourways are rare because at the time they weren't popular.
Indeed.
So fewer were made and fewer were bought.
And you only have to look at perhaps one of the big toy auctions in the die-cast magazines and see some of the money amounts at the prices of them.
Yes.
Some going in even into four figures occasionally.
Oh,
certainly
yes.
Three.
Yes.
Most of them into three.
Yes.
But the other example I brought along is a little bit later, although it's the same design as the earlier Dinky bus, and it's obviously representing the London bus.
Yes.
It's red, colour red all over, and it's got an example of British Transport advertising,
yes,
on it, Exide batteries.
Yeah.
And it actually, both of them have the front and rear indicators, the route line indicators, shown, and the side indicator over the platform, which was a feature, wasn't
it,
of buses in those days?
Yes, it's so as you were leaping on, you could make sure it was the right bus.
Mm.
I want a 38, you know. And as you, because in those days you could leap on and off at any point.
Mm.
It was an open back door, which is, and I was frequently, I remember jumping off buses and jumping on buses.
Mm.
Careless of the traffic, almost.
Mm.
You can understand why it was so dangerous, but that's what one did.
And also, at the top, over the top deck of these two models, it shows a little number, route number indicator, which was quite a feature of some of the buses.
Of the earlier ones,
of the earlier ones,
yeah.
So we have two examples of the basic Dinky toy bus. The earlier and the later one, as I say, the later one is the representing London Transport with the familiar red.
Yes.
Now, you brought along a superb-looking car.
Yes, it was a Christmas present in the mid-50s. I can't remember the exact year.
Mm.
It's a Schuco model of a sort of American-based sports car design, convertible. And It's in much better condition than most of my toys, and I think there's a very good reason for this. In the instructions, which are still with it, it's called, obviously in German, but the English translation is the technically mature instruction car.
Right.
And this what it's telling me, and which was fascinating at the time, is that when you wind it up, it goes, and it's got on the steering wheel a gear lever, where gear levers often were, and as you move it into different gears, it goes faster. And there's a speedometer needle, which also goes faster. And so you set it going, and once it gets going in bottom gear, you run along beside it and change gear. And, of course, by the time it's in top gear, it's going far too fast for you to keep changing the gear, because in theory you'll then change down. And I suppose the principle was that you've got a basic idea about gearboxes and how cars work.
Instructional.
That's why they say instructional.
Paul's just giving it a whine.
I'll give it a little whine just so I can demonstrate this. At the bottom, it's in first gear, and you can hear it from the noise. I'll change the gear faster, faster.
And really going.
And really going.
Yeah.
And it's also got a hooter. Now, I think it's in immaculate condition, because although I was excited when it came, it was so complicated I couldn't be bothered. As a child, I thought, once you'd done that, you thought, well, okay, so what, you know. And as soon as it got into top gear, it ran out of wind anyway, usually.
Mm.
So I think I just put it back in the box and forgot about it. And that is often what happens. If you forget about something and it survives various house moves and all that sort of stuff, suddenly you think, oh. And I found it years later put away in a box.
Mm.
And thought, gosh, you know, I remember it coming. But obviously the fact that it's almost immaculate, and with everything, including the instructions in the box and the key, it just shows that at the time, I didn't think much of it.
Mm.
So it's pure chance that it survives.
But if that turned up on the road show with its box,
in that condition, it would be
would
quite
you like
desirable.
To put a value on it?
Mm. Well, I suppose I could. It's not a rare model, so it might be 100 to 200, something like that, simply because of the fact that everything is here.
Mm.
Which is probably, in relative terms, about what it cost at the time.
Yes.
So it actually hasn't become more valuable. It's just kept its price. Whereas your buses, in that condition, are very, very little indeed.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah, well played with.
Well played with.
And that's right. And
play-worn.
That's right, play war. That's right. Yes,
phrase.
Indeed. Yeah, it's like the advert in the Hornby Railway catalogues and leaflets, and there's a picture of the four-wheel engine hauling this train of carriages, and these youngsters, probably about sort of the 8 or 9 year olds, are Dan looking at it like this, and they're saying, ah, there she goes watching the tea time special going out on. I mean, it was sort of wonderfully naive almost, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, I think we were. Marketing was naive.
Yes.
But I still like the idea that there was a belief that children needed to be taught how cars worked and the techniques of driving. And so this is really what that was about. Whereas the buses are just things to play with.
That's right, yeah. And indeed they were. So, some reflections on the world of toys, the history of toys. And I know we shall come back to this subject, I think.
Inevitably.
That's right. Might bring a few railway items along or something like
that.
Who knows,
yes.
You never know. They might walk in here and find a Hornby clockwork layout on the floor.
Trains racing round.
Trains racing round. Paul, thank you so much for sharing these precious memories of toys of the past.
Thank you, Peter.